This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Look, I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do this. I know how this is gonna go. Whatever I say, I know how it's gonna translate. I don't know, man. I wish I was still playing. I wish I was still competing and going back to Milwaukee. I don't know.
That was Giannis Antetokounmpo, courtesy of the Milwaukee Bucks. Welcome back to the Packaday Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11. Ty Windisch of the Eurostep Podcast coming up at 10:20 AM today. Going to be a fun one talking to him. But right now, we've got Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks, Packaday Podcast. It is Camille Davis Day, one of my favorite days always. You can find her on social media at Camille Monet. Camille, great to be back chatting with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I wish the Bucks were still playing basketball, but outside of that, I'm doing all right.
I am with you. I totally get that sentiment. It has been a rough, I don't know, do we want to say year, months, couple years for Milwaukee Bucks fans, but certainly this past week has not been great for Bucks fans. Let's start there. Obviously, I want to get to some draft stuff with you as well, Camille, but it feels appropriate to start with a Bucks postmortem. You've had a little bit of time to digest this loss, the Damian Lillard injury, where the Bucks stand right now. I don't even want to lead you in any direction. Just what are the thoughts going through your entire being as you think of this Bucks team right now?
That the Bucks are in a tricky situation. It's an inflection point this offseason for this franchise going forward. The Damian Lillard injury was super unfortunate. It sucked. There's no really other way to say that. It sucked for Dame. It sucked for the franchise. Just seeing everything that he was going through to try to get back from the blood clot, which I didn't expect him to make it back this season for. He comes back. Two games later, he tears his Achilles. At the age of 34, turning 35 this summer. It's just really tough, especially given that this Bucks team was constructed to try to maximize Giannis and Dame together. And now the Bucks are facing the prospects of not having Dame for most of next season, if not all of next season. Plus, what does that do for team building this summer? It's just the Bucks are in a tough situation, and this is going to be one of the biggest summers in franchise history for the decisions that they make to set the course for the next few years of the team.
So where do you start? Because obviously the immediate gut reaction is there's like the two extremes, right? Keep Giannis and try to do everything that you can to make one more run at this thing, or burn it down and trade Giannis, get all the picks, all the swaps, all the players, everything that you can possibly get and rebuild this thing from scratch, burn it down, hope that the Phoenix rises in its wake. Those are the two extremes. But if you're in the front office, where do you start with things? Does it start with obviously you've already made the GM decision. That's been decided already. John Horst has been given the extension. Does it start with a Doc Rivers decision? Does it start with a Giannis decision? Like where do you begin if you're the front office?
If I was the front office, it all begins with my sit down with Giannis, just to get a read on how he feels about the team, how the season went, what he thinks about the chances for this team to compete are going forward, getting his input on it. Because for me, unless Giannis requests a trade out of Milwaukee, I would not trade Giannis. I would continue to retool around him because he showed us this year he is still top three player in the NBA. I think that Giannis is still good enough to build around singularly. So the question just becomes, what route can we take to try to make this make the most sense? And Giannis offered something really interesting in his post-game comments after that Game 5 loss that I don't think as many people are focusing on. But he mentioned the fact that he felt like the next phase of his career, the next evolution, is kind of walking into that point forward role. And he mentioned the fact that at the end of this season when Dame was out, he had the ball in his hands a lot more. And he mentioned he liked that. And if he came back next year, he was hoping that he'd be able to operate the offense in that way with the ball in his hands, with him initiating the offense. And I think that's a starting point to go forward from if he's content with still being in Milwaukee, given the limited assets that they have going forward to build this team. But the first thing is first, if Giannis is on board, you go from that point forward. You make your coaching decision after that, but you need to know if you have Giannis or not.
So let me counterpoint that, Camille, because I know some might look at it and say the window's closed, that, you know, even this past year with Giannis playing as well as he possibly could. I mean, it's hard to imagine Giannis even, you know, and I wouldn't put it past him. He's Giannis, so, I mean, by all means, he could. But I mean, he played unbelievably this past year. You had Dame for good chunks of it, and it still was nowhere near good enough to get you, you know, even past the first round, much less into a championship contender status. You have some of these super teams. I mean, look at the Thunder coming up that are not only loaded with talent, loaded with youth, loaded with superpowers like obviously Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, but have still a ton of draft picks, a ton of first round capital, things that they can do to improve that roster even more potentially. You look at, and you look around the league and you see some of these other teams that are going to be ramping up. We saw how hard it was with Milwaukee when you've got Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton and Giannis playing together. You're a size shoe smaller of Kevin Durant from not even making it to the championship game. And, you know, that in and of itself, when everything hits kind of the right way, was still so incredibly hard. So, what would be the opportunity for this team now in this situation to kind of make that run? The argument, of course, would be, would it not be better to, hey, understand that the path forward is probably so razor thin that it might be better just to get a head start on the rebuild before maybe you don't get as much for Giannis or whatever the argument might be.
Yeah, I definitely get the argument. That was one of the arguments around Chris Middleton for some time. Like, now, there was a subset of people who just didn't like Chris Middleton, but there was another subset of fans, you know, just calling out like, hey, I don't know if his value will be any higher than what it currently is. We should trade him now while we can get something from it. The Bucks kept him, tried to make the new big three with, you know, Giannis and Chris and Dame. And then Chris had the injuries to his ankles this past year. So coming into the season, it wasn't there for Chris Middleton anymore. And by the time the Bucks looked to trade Chris Middleton, you know, the trade value wasn't there to the point where now they have to throw in A.J. Johnson, pretty much another first-round pick onto that because the Bucks didn't really have any assets to trade in order to pull off that Kuzma trade in the first place to get under the second apron. So it's hard to win a championship. And I've said it before, but in addition to being talented, you're going to need some luck along the way. And whether that luck is, you know, your team staying healthy or the Bucks championship year where you run into teams that they're, you know, injured along the way or Kevin Durant's foot is on the line. Whatever it may be, you always need a little luck in addition to the talent to win a championship. And for the Bucks, with the way that the East is looking, with more teams coming up, of course, you have Boston, you have Cleveland, you have the Pacers, who just put the Bucks out for the second year in a row. You have the Knicks, you have the Magic coming up. You have a lot of teams that are good. So the question is, can you get him back into that upper echelon tier? And it's going to be difficult. So I do understand the idea of, let's trade Giannis now, get draft picks, start the rebuild, and go. But as someone who has been a dedicated Bucks fan, who's been watching this team for years, it's always easier said than done. It's easy to sell hope and optimism of something that you don't know. But it's hard to really land a top five player in the NBA. So it's one of those things for me where it's like, if Giannis is still on board, I'm going to do everything I can to try to continue to find a way for this team to retool. But if he wants out, then I'll pivot. But until I hear that from him, I'd continue trying because it is so hard to get a top five player that can really lead a franchise, especially when you think of the relationship that Giannis has with the city of Milwaukee.
No, it's so well said, and I think I'm probably more with you on that side of things as well, and especially when it's Giannis, you just have to take those decisions with such care. Also, it's tough to do a rebuild when all of your own picks and swaps are yeah. out for you. So if you're going to be bad, you usually want to be bad when you can have your own first-round picks, and those are obviously spoken for as well. So again, they're a little bit in this no-man's land situation as we're being joined again by Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks, Pack-A-Day podcast finder on social media, at Camille Monet. Then regardless of whether Giannis is back or not, I would assume kind of one of the next big decisions, of course, is Doc Rivers and what you end up doing mm-hmm. with him. How much of a say does Giannis have in that if he does, in fact, come back? And then can you even listen? Do you have to make it a move here no matter what? Or what are kind of the odds that Doc is back this next year?
That's the piece of this where I'm kind of confused. I'm like 50-50 on the Doc Rivers piece of it, because if you do go away from Doc Rivers, that means you had Mike Budenholzer, you had Adrian Griffin, you had Doc Rivers, and then now whoever this new coach is over the last 2 years. And that level of a change consistently can be difficult to deal with. But also, if you're seeing something isn't working, you don't just want to stay in it just because, hey, we need this stability here because we haven't had it. And it's this off season where the coaching market is really interesting. There's some interesting names out there. Given that Mike Malone was fired from Denver, that, you know, Taylor Jenkins was fired in Memphis, you had Mike Brown out in Sacramento, so you have some established names in addition to some assistants who have been talked about as getting a first, you know, head time or head coaching job that could be interesting, like a Sam Cassell. But the Doc Rivers piece of it, I am really 50-50. We heard Giannis with high praise for Doc Rivers, but Giannis has praised every single coach that he has had while he was here, from Kidd to, you know, to Bud, to Griff, to Doc. So I don't know if you can really take anything from what Giannis says publicly, unless Giannis said, I don't want a new coach, I want him, which he's never been that pointed about. But that one's the hard piece, and that's the first domino I think we're waiting as fans outside to see how that falls, because I'm sure we won't hear from the franchise about what Giannis's decisions are.
When it comes to the Packers, I can take my fandom off and I can just put the analyst hat on. With the Bucks, I just get to be a fan. And as the fan of me, it's just like, you got to get a new coach. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not split 50-50. I'm 100%. You got to try something different. There's just too many lineup things that come into play with Doc. And it feels like you have to try something different if you're going to try to run this thing back. But we'll see what they ultimately do. Last but not least, before we get to a Packers standpoint on this, Camille, what can they realistically do to try to improve this team? As you mentioned, there's so few resources. They have one first round pick, if I remember correctly, that they can trade either their, what is it, 31 or 32. They can trade one of them. And then, you know, just not a lot else, not a lot of young, you know, resources that they can go to try to trade players away, whatever it might be. There's limited opportunity. So what can they realistically do to try to improve this team?
I think the first thing to do, and I said there was any silver lining out of that Game 5 loss, is that you saw the five guys who you should aim to have in Bucks jerseys next year, with Kevin Porter Jr., A.J. Green, Bobby Portis, Giannis, and I'm missing
Gary Trent
Jr. Yeah. You got to try to get those five back. And one thing that Chris Middleton trade did do by getting under the second apron is allow the Bucks to have access to the non-taxpayer, the MLE. So they're able to split about $14 million on free agents, and I think that's going to come in handy for them being able to try to re-sign Gary Trent Jr. Kevin Porter Jr. has a player option, so if he opts out of that, you can use that pool of money to try to re-sign him going forward. Trying to extend A.J. Green, I think, would be a good idea. He's under contract next year with a non-guaranteed contract, going to assume that becomes fully guaranteed based on how he played. Sure. But trying to extend him would be a great idea. And Bobby Portis, he has a player option this summer as well, so once Bobby makes his decision, see what that landscape looks like to bring him back. But I think you start with that and evaluating who's on your team. I think it's time to say goodbye to Brook Lopez, and I've been a big Brook Lopez supporter, but I think the time has just come to make that parting there. So I think you start with trying to see who you currently had on your roster and who you can get back from that. And I would start with trying to make sure Gary Trent Jr., Kevin Porter Jr., Bobby Portis, all the juniors. We need the juniors back on this team next year, and then trying to go from there, because it's going to be another season where you're going to have to sign a lot of vet men, maybe see what the market is talking about for a Kyle Kuzma trade, but I would assume you would need to attach some draft capital to get off of that contract. So I think that's where you start. You start with Gary Trent Jr., you start with Kevin Porter Jr., and see where you can go from there.
I don't know if this is feasible. Again, I don't put the analyst hat on with the Bucks all too often, but I saw somebody maybe floated out. My guess is it would take more than this, just based especially on how Kuzma played. But if the Nets had any interest in doing a Cam Johnson for Kyle Kuzma on a first swap, I think I would be interested in a little bit of Cam Johnson on this team. I think he could be really fun. I always thought highly of him. I think there's a little bit more to his game. Obviously, in the Nets, you don't have that, you know, kind of playmaker distributor to kind of get him open a little bit more. I think he could be a really fun wing that can hit some of those threes as well. I don't know how he shot from three last year. I'd have to look at that, but he'd be a fun player, I think.
I would totally be on board with that if that's something that the Bucks could do off holding one of those picks for Cam Johnson.
Yeah, he's a really fun player. All right, Camille, before we get you out of here, just wanted to talk a little bit of Packers draft. If I remember correctly, you were in attendance at the draft, correct?
Yes, I was there on day two on Friday.
All right, so what was the vibe? What was the scene? How did the draft kind of feel and look to you as you were able to attend it live?
It was really fun, and I went on the day of the draft, the 3 days. I had the worst weather, so I was there in the rain and the cold, and everyone was so pleasant. I felt like the space they had set up for all the experiences around the stadium, in the stadium, in the Titletown district, it was spread out enough where you didn't feel like you were out there with 175,000 other people. I didn't really feel the sheer magnitude of how many people were there until we were all at the stage waiting for the picks to happen. I thought Green Bay had everything running smoothly. It was a fantastic experience. I didn't know what to expect. Never been to a draft before, but all the different games you could play leading up to it, the vendors, everything was really cool. A super enjoyable experience, and I think it made Green Bay really shine in the light of a lot of different NFL fans, eyes, and just the national media.
Yeah, it was really cool to see overall. As far as the draft itself, again, as we're being joined by Camille Davis, Locked On Bucks, Pack-A-Day podcast. Find her on social media at Camille Monet. What were your thoughts of the Packers draft on the whole and what they were able to kind of get out of it?
I really enjoyed a lot of the picks coming out of it. Of course, when it comes to a draft, you don't know if it's a good draft or not for a few years. But overall, just looking at what they acquired, I love the competition they brought into the wide receiver room. I love the Sorrell pick. I liked how they had the defensive focus on day three, but if there's any critique I could have for the draft, it's just that I feel the cornerback room is still a little shaky in my opinion here. Of course, the news came out recently about Jaire Alexander might actually be back. So that does change the landscape a bit, but still a little thin, but I'm always glad that the Packers don't tend to try to reach for positions of need. They just kind of let the board fall how it falls. And the way it fell this year, two wide receivers, you know, in the first three rounds, a lot of defense on day three. So overall, I like the guys who they added to the locker room. I still think there's probably some more work to do, but we can get into that as training camp approaches.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. All right, last but not least, I'm doing this for Mitch Thunder Nellis, our resident huge WWE expert. I know you cover WWE for the Technical Foul podcast as well. All right, so obviously WrestleMania, end of it, was a little bit not liked by a lot of people with the Cena and Cody Rhodes ending. What was your thought of WrestleMania on the whole and how the main event went?
I thought all in all, WrestleMania was a little underwhelming this year, especially after last year's event, which I thought was fantastic. But the ending to the Cena-Rhodes match, I'm not mad at. That's the outcome I wanted. John Cena as the champion for the 17th time. I think how they got there was not the best, and they could have made that a bit more compelling. Don't get all the Travis Scott stuff, but heel John Cena alone has been worth it. I've been enjoying his run, so I'm curious to see how this continues to go, because I'm having a lot of fun with this version of John Cena right now.
Yeah, that piece of it has been interesting to kind of see how he navigates this and how WWE navigates it. But it did feel like there was maybe a missed opportunity, WrestleMania final run, winning the championship, to have that huge moment where he gets it and then maybe turn heel after it. I don't know. There's different ways to do it, but it felt like that could have been a really unbelievable moment as a face, and then to maybe have it at the end do some sort of switch at that point. But I get it. The storytelling's been fine, and I'm going to be interested to see how they kind of pivot this moving forward, if they need to, or if they continue with Cena heel for the entirety of his final run. Should be fun to keep an eye on. Camille, you cover obviously everything from Bucks to Packers to WWE. Tell us about where we can find all of your incredible work.
Yeah, so even though the Milwaukee Bucks season has come to a close, Locked On Bucks is still operating 5 days a week through the rest of, I think we go 5 days a week probably until like August or so. So make sure you're still checking out Locked On Bucks. We'll be breaking down the off-season moves, how the Bucks should do things. In addition to that, Technical Foul Podcast, TECKNICAL. We record live every Thursday or every Tuesday talking WWE, NFL, and NBA. And then, of course, the Pack a Day podcast. I'm on the Monday side for the audio weekly. I'm around.
Camille, you can only watch wrestling, NBA, or NFL, one of them, for the rest of your life. Which one are you choosing?
Ooh. Hoo-hoo. Okay, Andy, with the tough questions to end the segment.
Not letting anyone off the hook today. Everyone's getting the tough questions.
I think if I could only watch one of the three going forward. See, WWE would be a cheap way to say because it's on every week. I would never have an off season with WWE. So I think I would go with that. But that's a tough one. And it's only because of that technicality I go there.
I understand the technicality. It's a good answer. I appreciate you a ton. We'll talk again soon, I am sure. Camille, and thank you so much for your time. I always appreciate it.
For sure. Take care.
You bet. That's Camille Davis. You can find her on social media at Camille Monet. This is the Pack a Day Radio Show. We got more to get to here in just a moment, so make sure to not go anywhere and join us right back here in just a second.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.